We're at item 16, Mr. O'Reilly, if I've checked correctly, or Mr. Button, or who will be handling? Right sound, wrong beverage. Blue paper. Bowman blue paper. It is. That's where it came from. Anyway, what do we got there? One. That'll be enough. Proceed, sir.
Good afternoon, Commissioner and members of the Commission. I'd like to start with just a little brief bit of good news. This picture that you're looking at there right now is the shell that was planted in the Nansman Ridge area of the James River this summer that's completely wrapped up in oyster spat. So we got an extremely good spat set in the lower portion of the James River, particularly on the new shell that was planted this year. So just a little update that it's not all bad news right now.
Well, considering what I'm getting from some other places as far as spat set, that is good news.
That being said, I'd like to roll right into the discussion on the Shellfish Management Advisory Committee's recommended adjustments to the 2018-2019 public oyster harvest season, as well as provide an update on the harvest of James River seed oysters. So you may recall that when we were establishing the 2018-2019 oyster season, there were some concerns at the time about freshwater-related mortality in some of the harvest areas. You may recall that upper portions of both the Rappahannock and the James River, we did see some evidence of mortality, and that at the time staff surveyed the area and that it wasn't high levels apparent in the areas that were scheduled to open to hand harvest or hand scrape this year. That being said, we resurveyed those areas by oyster dredge on October 3rd of this year in the Rappahannock, and this was the mortality that we observed on the areas that we surveyed. So these areas aren't all the areas that are worked on. These are just the portions that we surveyed. This is the mortality that we observed in these areas. There has been some anecdotal reports from many of the harvesters and many of the buyers that the mortality, particularly in the deeper water areas, has been higher in the Rappahannock areas that are open right now. And the season that's been going on in the Rappahannock hasn't been what was anticipated by many of the harvesters and some of the buyers working there now. So to orient folks real quick right now, this is Area 8 of the Rappahannock. This is the Muratico Bar area there that was referenced on that previous slide. This is Area 5 that is opened up now, and this is Area 3 that is currently scheduled to open in January of 2019. starting in Area 5, one of the potential reasons why the season isn't quite what was anticipated is a combination of that deeper water, freshwater-related mortality, possibly some anoxic events down there. Those areas sort of periodically support an oyster population if there's a very good spat set, but occasionally or somewhat frequently there is an anoxic event and those deep water areas do decline. But in Area 5, this is just a breakdown of the starting market oyster population. This is what is being harvested. And prior to the opening in 2015, which was the last time this area was opened, the level of market oysters per square meter was substantially higher than it was. You can see it has started to recover, but it's not yet to the level where it was prior to that opening. So that, combined with the possible freshwater-related mortality, the loss of some of the deep water areas, is probably the reason that the season isn't what was quite anticipated when we had planned for the season in 2018-2019. Again, this is Area 3 that is scheduled to be open January. And again, you can see that this was prior to its opening in 2015 and that it has recovered, we believe, based on the 2017 data, to a level of market oysters higher than it was prior to its last opening. So this Area 3 should be better than Area 5. Again, there is some anecdotal evidence, and staff did do a dredge survey on some of the deep water areas, and it does look like there probably is going to be some increased mortality there, but you know, we're not 100% sure on if we'll see that or not. So because of these concerns with the level of harvest, and particularly that much of the effort that was in the Rappahannock has shifted to the James River, SMAC was convened on October 18th, and they came up with some recommendations to address the shift in effort to the James River. And these recommended changes would just adjust the current area openings in the Rappahannock. And their recommendation was to open Area 3 to hand scrape starting November 12th to January 12th and keep Area 3 open to Patentong November 1st to 12th. So this is sort of what the season would look like with no changes, and this was the SMAC recommended change that staff is, you know, it's largely a resource neutral change. There are some concerns about where this effort will shift, particularly in the month of January. That's going to be changed the most. And, you know, if effort doesn't transition back to the James River, it may be necessary to take further actions if, you know, it stays focused there. Part of that big decline that you saw in Area 5 of the Rappahannock, that was when that area was the only area open, October 1st, where the whole effort was focused there. So that's why we started splitting up the open areas in October. But if we are going to have an October season, instead of moving the season back, it's kind of a, you have to balance that effort so you don't get that focused impact in one harvest area. But this was the SMAC recommended change, and, you know, for the Rappahannock anyway, it's generally a resource neutral change. You know, there is some concern, like I said, about January and where that effort will shift to if the fleet doesn't split up again as it has been in the past. And then I'll start with the James River seed harvest update. So in 2011, there was a seed quota established for 120,000 bushels of seed to be harvested from the James. This was an effort to sort of limit the impact of the resource. And of this 120,000 bushels, they have a sort of a split quota system that we established in Regulation 720 to limit harvest in the fall to 40,000 bushels, and then whatever is remaining of the quota can be caught in the spring. So the sort of, if that 40,000 bushels is reached prior to December 31st, the harvest will stop, and whatever is remaining can be harvested in the spring. And again, if the 120,000 bushel quota is reached in the spring, then harvest will stop then too. So again, to take into account, these are the seed areas in the James River from this line upward, and something to sort of keep in the back of our minds as we're looking at this is there was some mortality in the upriver area, so this is a seed area that basically isn't going to have a lot of oyster seed this year as a result of freshwater mortality, which would sort of further focus effort into these lower areas of the James River where both seed and clean culls are harvested from. So we're sort of already a little bit behind due to that freshwater mortality there. This is the current state of that 40,000 bushel fall quota. Right now, we're projected to reach that 40,000 bushel quota early for the first time in the fall, on or about November 10th, or November 9th, I guess, is a Friday, or November 12th, that Monday. So right now, there's currently about 1,400 or so bushels of seed being harvested, and we're projected to hit that 40,000 bushel level right around that second week in November. Part of the, you can see that James River seed harvest overall has increased substantially in recent years, and a major driving factor of that has been out-of-state demand. So this is just the current fall seed harvest broken out by where it's being planted. So right now, each harvester is required to call in daily and report who they're selling to and their planting location. And based on this information, we have estimated that approximately of the 27,000 bushels that's currently been harvested, approximately 16,000 of those bushels have gone out of the state of Virginia. Of particular concern to the actual impact of the resource is the focused effort. Some of this harvest has been on specific areas. In specific, Point of Shoals has seen the level of oyster culch drop to its lowest level since the current monitoring standards have been in place since 2002. So our sort of target for the seed areas is to keep their culch levels above 10 oysters per meter squared, or 10 liters of oyster shell and living oysters per meter squared. These are shallow water areas that aren't easily replenished, and if it drops below that level, you know, it can be problematic for future harvest. And a lot of this effort has been focused on Point of Shoals, which has seen this decline, as well as Day's Point. Day's Point isn't quite as in bad shape as Point of Shoals, but we still have some concerns if that effort is focused there. As part of the regulatory change when the 2018-2019 season was adopted, we inserted this line into 720 there, that the commission may cease granting the permits required by 28.2.546 of the Code of Virginia when he determines that seed areas currently open to harvest are becoming depleted and the additional granting of such permits could seriously injure the seed areas. This is the permit described by 28.2.546. It's basically a permit to transport oysters out of state. So as a conservation measure, because of this focused effort, particularly on Pointer Shoals, the commissioner could decide to limit the sale of oysters out of state. Basically, when we determine that an area is becoming depleted, which we have in the case of Pointer Shoals. So right now, this doesn't require any direct action by the full commission, but staff is prepared to issue a notice informing the public that the permits required by 28.2.546 will no longer be issued, and that any determination on continued issuance of this permit will be made after all available information relating to the oyster seed areas in the James River has been reviewed. In addition, we have a notice for the closure of the full James River seed areas if and when that 40,000 bushel fall quota has been met. And then the recommendation on the regulatory change is staff recommends the commission exercise its authority under 28.2.209 of the Code of Virginia in order to protect the oyster resource and the oyster industry and adopt the SMAC recommended changes to 2018-2019 public oyster harvest season by emergency amendments to Chapter 4 VAC 2720-10 pertaining to restrictions on oyster harvest to adjust the opening dates of Rappahannock Area 3 from January 1st, 2019 through February 28, 2019 to November 12, 2018 through January 10th, 2019. The SMAC recommendation was for January 12th, but that would be a Monday, and for the sake of things, I think having the season close on a Friday there would probably be more beneficial, and I think SMAC would be all right with those changes. Staff further recommends that because of the potential for effort to shift, if the Rappahannock doesn't turn out to be what it is, or if that effort stays in the James River, or just in general, that we're somewhat concerned about effort shifting to particularly Patentong areas there. That's another popular area with some of the folks who fish in the Rappahannock. And this year we increased the bushel limit in Patentong areas from 8 to 10, and we would further recommend dropping that back to 8 bushels per licensed harvester, and then requesting a public hearing at the December Commission meeting to make these amendments permanent and to consider additional management measures. So if the fleet doesn't shift back to the Rappahannock, it may be prudent of us to, at that meeting, make some other possible decisions in terms of limiting the impacts to the oyster resource. And I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Did you get a copy of that, that slide of the pictures that we, with the aerials we took?
I have it on my desk.
Well, we'll talk about that. I'd like for them to see that that overview of the James River, just to give you an idea of what we're contending with. Any questions by members of the commission? Mr. France.
Yeah, so Patentong in Area 5 will be from 1st of November to the 12th?
Area 3 would be from the 1st to
I'm
the
12th. I'm sorry, Area 3.
Yes.
And Area 5 will remain open until the end of November?
It could be. I mean, we could make the decision to close that area. Right now, I believe there are 9 boats fishing there today, and anecdotally, again, I've heard that 5 are planning on continuing to scrape there until Area 3 opens up, and that 4 are planning to go patentonging once Area 3 is opened up to a hand scrape.
Yeah. You know, I think we could close Area 5. But really, I think, you know, if we leave it open, I think it's going to close itself anyway. So I don't think we have to close it. If somebody wants to work there, there probably wouldn't be one boat every now and then.
Further questions? Mr. Ballard.
So am I right in understanding the seed that when we, I think we use the phrase, closing it to harvest, but that means the folks actually harvesting seed and then transplanting it to grow out areas in the same river system, that's not considered harvest by this definition, or is that considered harvest?
That would be considered harvest,
yeah.
So even in-river transfers would be. What this is 2 notices, so there would be, we could cease issuing as a conservation measure, the out-of-state transfer permits would be one thing that we could do today if we wanted to put out a notice. And then if we reach that 40,000 bushel quota, that would close harvest to everyone.
Okay, got it.
Ms. Everett?
I just have two questions, Mr. Rutten, about your presentation. So the mortality rates that you showed, like 8-9%-ish, are those higher than normal, or what's the relative to?
Those sort of usually in that 10% range is sort of normal there. And these are, again, shallow water areas, and sort of anecdotally, some of the deep water areas we do believe have experienced higher than, I wouldn't say what is historically normal, but what is recently normal. So these areas in the Rappahannock are dependent on, you know, a very heavy stat set. They're not receiving routine replenishment, and they are prone to anoxic events. So those areas, you know, historically, the death rate of, you know, most of them dying there is normal, but recently, in sort of the last probably 5 to 8 years, they've experienced higher rates of survival than historically normal. So that's sort of where the distinction lies.
Mr. Bowman?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
And then the anoxic events you refer to, that's the result of an algal bloom?
We're not sure the exact cause of that. It's probably a combination of factors. So there's probably some anoxic events in those deeper water areas. There may have already been stressed due to the fresh water coming down. It's probably a combination of factors that led to that mortality. And I can't say with certainty what specific cause of that. But, you know, it has been a very unusual year in terms of rainfall in a lot of areas.
Yeah, in the northern, what month did we go up there and start checking around after that real heavy rainfall? Was that July?
July and August, yeah.
How many inches of rain up there in the northern reaches? You know, keep using the word anecdotally. I've heard upwards of, for 4 or 5 days, upwards of a foot of rain. So you get that thrown on them, and then you have further issues. We were very concerned right off the bat. That's why we went scraping around, don't excuse the scientific pun, or scratching around early on to see what was going on. So, it's not been good. The other thing is, you know, staff has, Andrew has, and others have had some concerns from industry. I understand, not to advance the story or whatever, but there have been some grumblings where the watermen, some have gone to the media, haven't come here first, but went to the media to complain about different things, such as I've heard, that the fact that we're planting shell on top of the oysters, it's killing the oysters, mismanagement, different things. It's really easy to get frustrated. Now, I do understand that. From what I've seen, although I wasn't here last year, banner year for oysters, heck of a harvest, first part of the year, things going well. And it's easy to blame someone when, in fact, the someone is either recruitment, the fact that the spat set hadn't been what it has been in the past, which we absolutely cannot control, and then the rainfall that occurs, which obviously we cannot control. So you know, that those anecdotal things can be somewhat bruising to the ego of those that are trying to do their best to manage this resource, and only the good Lord can manage that from those perspectives. We can do other things like what we're being asked to do today. Remember, one of the first things I asked you when I first got here, I was concerned right off the bat about coming back in here and us having a collapse in the oyster fishery. We don't want that to happen. So if I sound a little precautious, I am. And I would rather be criticized for being overly cautious than to throw caution to the wind and we're in a collapse. So that, I just feel very strongly about that. And did y'all get that slide? Working on it? Okay. Yes, Rob.
Let me confer with Mr. Button here. Mr. Button has been in the field until we had a mechanical problem with the patent song, so he's here. But I have an emergency regulation here, and I just want to check we've got that correct here. And then on the 8 bushels, does it fall down in that section?
Yep.
Okay, so I didn't get a lot of copies. We just did it on the fly. But this is an emergency regulation. It means in Area 3, patent song will be available for the first 11 days of November, and then hands-free from the 12th of November until January 10th. And then in addition, the bushel limit that Andrew mentioned would fall from 10 to 8.
But I think that's all, what, Mr. France, isn't that all as a result of SMAC and what was coming out of there? And what?
That's correct.
Okay, so we do have consensus as far as industry is concerned.
SMAC was very willing. They initially wanted to have a November 1 season of Rappahannock with hand scrape. Staff explained that the commission schedule would mean that the 30 days would elapse well in advance of the December 11th meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So they agreed to go from the 12th of November and have time in the December meeting to make that a permanent part of the regulation.
Okay, that's fine. Now, back to the James River aspect.
Yes.
What are you recommending today?
At this point in the James River, I wouldn't make any recommendations today to change anything there in the James. My hope.
I'm talking about the seed issue.
Oh, the seed issue.
Seed issue.
I would say that there is clear evidence that there is an impact. So we could stop issuing out-of-state permits, and that when we hit the quota, we're going to close. And that would actually, if we ceased issuing the out-of-state permits, then that would actually extend the length that our projection would then bump back. So probably there would be a later closure of it, and that would sort of spread out the harvest. I mean, when they're going full steam trying to catch as many oysters as they can to ship out-of-state, they're just going to the same area and catch them as quick as they can from that area, whereas the in-river transfers are sort of more spread out, periodic. Sometimes they'll go clean culling oysters, so it's sort of more diffused across the harvest areas there. So if the commission wills, we can make that call to cease granting out-of-state permits, and then when we reach the quota.
Is that the commission's call or is that my call?
I believe that's your call.
Okay, but I'd like to have certainly like input from the commission on the matter. What do you think? We've got a good, go ahead.
So, the point is, let me see if I got this right. The point of shoals is getting depleted.
That's what our, that's 2018 Patentong data, so we kind of rushed to that area. We're actually out surveying in the James this week, so we finished that area last week, and just based on that one area that we surveyed, the colch levels there are below 10 oyster or 10 liters of shell for the first time since 2002. So we can actually see the impact of that focused seed harvest on that area, which has been heavily targeted for out-of-state transfers.
So if you think we stop issuing out-of-state permits, it'll take the pressure off of this, or do you think this should something that should be
It definitely would. It'll more than half the current seed harvest pressure now, and that would also give us time to readdress the issue after January 1st, determine if and when we could begin reissuing these seed permits once we have a full survey done of all the James River seed areas. So there's definitely impact apparent now. Limiting out-of-state seed would give us more time to fully address the issue, and then we could make that call January 1st or at a later point on when we would like to start issuing those seed permits, if and when we do, based on better information.
What's the commission think? I'll stop issuing the seed permits for out-of-state transport. Consensus?
Yes, I agree.
Okay. That's done. Now on to the emergency regulation. That's the SMAC issues. This no public hearing is required on an emergency regulation. We'll then hear it again, public, and advertise for public hearing for that. Okay, so we need two motions. We need a motion to adopt staff recommendation for the emergency reg first.
So moved.
Second.
Who made the motion? Mr. Zedrin, second by Mr. Minor. Further discussion on the emergency reg. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Next, I need a motion for a public hearing to advertise for the provisions of the emergency regulation that were adopted at the December meeting.
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Minor. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Zedrin. Further discussion. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. That it on that?
Yes.
Okay. Did we get it to work? Yeah, let's take a look just real quick. Won't take any time.
most boats showing up on it, I guess. Probably one of these. Yeah.
That's a start. And there's, go ahead.
There's so you can see Warwick River right here. The James River bridges are probably right about over it right now. So this is Upper Thomas's Gum Rock or Gun Rock, they call it, up in this area. This is the Rex Shoals Oyster Sanctuary right here. But this is where right now most of the James River fleet is working. But also on November 1st, the entire James River will open up, as well as Area 9 in the Upper Pocomoke. So hopefully that'll spread this out a little more. And with these changes.
But we also have anecdotal evidence that indicates that some folks are going to stay in the James River, even if they're not from that area, and keep on hitting at it. So you got a couple more in there, I think, that are really. I mean, what worries me is being that close together. I mean, it's just that area is getting whacked. Yeah, this is the Rappahannock River.
So, and when the season started out, it was about an even split. I mean, there were about 60 or so boats in each area. And now, as you can see, probably over 100 there in the James.
So, Mr. France, where most of the grumblings, I understand, are coming from the Rapp area?
Because
most of the grumblings are coming from the Rappahannock River area because it's just not the way that it was. So, anyway. Well, thank you, Andrew.
And I think most of one complaint is, and it's nobody's fault, but we may need to make some adjustments, is that the Patentong survey, which gives us so much more information than a dredge survey, comes so late in the season.
Andrew, you want to comment on that?
Well, the Patentong season is, or the Patentong survey is conducted when it is, primarily to catch when there has been the oyster spat, so they're usually striking through September. So, I mean, we would have better information if the season were bumped back a little bit. That's something that's has strong resistance from industry. But, you know, if there was a November opening for a lot of the areas, we'd have better information before those areas were open. And it would also shorten that effort, and you wouldn't have to be stretching it out over so many different areas. So that would do two things there. It's a possible something to look at early going into next year.
Okay. Keep that in the back of your mind. Be good. Further questions? Mr. Ballard?
Just want to say thank you. There wasn't three, four long time ago that an emergency closure right before the start of oyster season would have had this room full of people, and we would have been here for 5 hours. Your ability to work with industry and garner consensus and bring everyone to a room together, I've heard nothing but positive things about the way you're handling all sides alike and building consensus amongst all stakeholders. So, great work.
We had a discussion similar to that first part of the week when the slings and arrows started flying a little bit, and how that job right there can be a lightning rod for criticism at times, but every once in a while, accolades. So it is. It's a tough job. There's no doubt about it. And he and his staff at Fishery Management are, all the staff, doing a great job. So I think that's a testament to what we have in here now. So people got to get on the road. Anything else come before the commission? They are seeing none. We're adjourned.